With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, it's 4 minutes past the hour of 10 p.m. here on Wednesday night on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. As you heard in the top portion there of the news, Ron DeSantis, as expected, made it official. We will let you hear some of what he had to say, some of the problems he had on Twitter during the initial talk that he had with Elon Musk. It kept cutting out because the platform was overwhelmed by listeners, and so that was the problem there, apparently. But we'll let you hear what he had to say, and we will let you hear the media reaction to the in anticipation of the announcement, the media reaction leading up to it earlier today. Just incredible, but just what you would expect. Just what you would expect. Now, one of the things that was addressed by Ron DeSantis was what he would do with, you know, would Christopher Wray remain as the head of the FBI? And he said on day one, there would be a new, he said this to Trey Gowdy on Fox News Channel, his first interview after the announcement on Twitter, which is a whole nother story, how Trey Gowdy got him and why Trey Gowdy got him, but maybe we'll talk about that later too. But nonetheless, he said that Christopher Wray would be gone immediately on day one, and that we need the FBI revamped, depoliticized, and all that kind of stuff. And it speaks to what my next guest is going to be talking about. We have had representatives from Compass Care Pregnancy Centers in the past, but this is the first time, I believe, we're speaking to the CEO, Reverend Jim Hardin. And Reverend, a pleasure to talk to you, and welcoming you aboard is a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Steve, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, so you know, we've talked in the past to Daniel, I believe, about the attack on the center in Buffalo, the fact that law enforcement, seemingly all law enforcement, was dragging their feet, trying to get videos from them, trying to get videos that you provided back from them. Everything was a challenge. Everything was a hassle. So when you hear whistleblowers from the FBI, once you get past the Democrats accusing them of, you know, profiting off their becoming whistleblowers and trying to attack the messenger, it should really come as no surprise. But what struck you in the testimony of these three FBI whistleblowers last week when it came to their talking about what the FBI is doing when it comes to Catholics and parents at school board meetings and you know, pro-life people? It's just frightening.
Yeah, it confirmed exactly what we've been experiencing and what we've been, you know, basically claiming the FBI has been doing since we were firebombed last June. They are they have been politicized, and they've become a Maoist, you know, kind of Red Guard for the Biden administration to enforce the Biden administration's political narrative against anybody that seems to oppose them. I mean, why pro-lifers? Why are pro-lifers the ones being attacked by, you know, pro-abortion, literal pro-abortion domestic terrorists, and they're being given a pass by federal law enforcement? Over 300 attacks on pro-life entities and zero convictions. You know, it's impossible for me to believe. It's just flat naive to think that one of the largest law enforcement agencies, federal agencies in this country, 14,000 special agents or agents that, you know, and the FBI, and the best forensic technology known to man, don't know who's perpetrating these crimes. It's ridiculous. And we know. So we had to, we hired private investigators, you know this. We found a pattern of criminal behavior that exists within the DHS, the FBI, the DOJ. And we've been calling for the resignation or the firing of Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. These guys lie under oath to Senate Judiciary Committees, the House Judiciary Committees. I mean, you talked about you know, DeSantis saying, you know, Christopher Wray is going to be gone on day one. Well, I hope it's long before that. I mean, it's the oath-bound duty of these congressmen and senators to protect the constitutional rights of the citizens, and they're being denied. Look, there's a conspiracy going on. I mean, and people say, oh, conspiracy. Well, you look at the history of government, it's the history of conspiracy, okay? Conspiracy happens all the time in every government and known to man. But there is a conspiracy to deprive the rights of pro-life citizens, the 14th Amendment rights of equal protection under the law, and First Amendment rights. And this is a violation of the Third KKK Act of 1871. These people need to be thrown, not just taken out of office. They need to be, investigated for criminal behavior, possibly thrown in jail. And thankfully, articles of impeachment were filed by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Did you see that? That was a breath of fresh air. I mean, if, you know, we're getting some traction. The House is doing something. The Senate's doing something. Now we got articles of impeachment going for this purpose, for this reason. And they're quoting Compass Care, and they're using us as an example as to why the FBI has been politicized.
You know, I don't want to get far off the track here, and I don't think I am. I mean, this is so blatantly in your face when this if they're not going to protect Supreme Court justices, then they're not going to protect people coming to pro-life centers. When Chuck Schumer threatened Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. saying you won't know what hit you, and knowing full well as we do that they're not elected, so it's not like they're going to face re-election and they're going to be voted out of office, quote unquote. So what does it mean you're not going to know what hit you? But and then after the decision came down negating Roe. The protests, and before the decision, after the leak, the protests outside the Supreme Court justices' homes, the conservative homes, which is illegal under the law, nothing was done. When questioned about it, Merrick Garland said under oath that it's not up to him to make arrests. It's up to the agents in the field there to make arrests when they feel it's necessary. And then it came out when they had Garland back. A memo was read that came from the Department of Justice to those people in the field saying, do not make arrests unless absolutely necessary. And he was asked if he knew about it, and he said no. Now, whether that's the truth or not, either way, it smells and stinks to high heaven. So if they're not going to protect Supreme Court justices, and of course, one of whom had an assassination attempt made on his life, then they're not going to protect pro-life people inside the clinic or those going to the clinic.
No. They've turned the investigative and arresting power against pro-life people. Peaceful pro-life people are being investigated. We believe that we're being investigated. The New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill to investigate pregnancy centers 6 days after we were firebombed. While in the press conference, she called us Neanderthals. This is the level of vitriol and hatred that they have against pro-life people. And so you got to ask yourself, why are they so intent on making pro-life people the focus of their ire, their attacks? And I think it's because of what we believe. We believe that all people are made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable. And that's the belief that stands between tyranny and a free rule of law society. They are trying to undermine the rule of law. What does the Declaration of Independence say? We are endowed by our creator with inalienable rights, not by our government with fabricated ones, right? And so what abortion represents to these pro-abortion Democrats is, they don't care about abortion. They could care less about abortion except for what abortion gives them. Abortion gives them absolute power. And what is absolute power? The ability to decide who lives and who dies. It's a slippery slope. It's not the government's job to come along and say, this person qualifies for protection under the law and this one doesn't. And by the way, if you've got a bunch of people out there saying all people should be protected under the law, they become second-class citizens because they're standing in your way. And that's pro-life people.
Yeah, we're talking to Reverend Jim Harden, CEO of Compass Care, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. It's your organization, people like you, but it's also, according to the whistleblowers, infiltration of and monitoring of people who attend the Catholic Church, people who attend school board meetings. This is intimidation. This is scary as all heck. And there's no end in sight. And I'll tell you, if the Democrats win the White House, and if the Democrats win the, you know, control of the Senate and the House again, this country, I mean, we could kiss it goodbye as we have known it for your lifetime and my lifetime. It'll be over.
Yes. And here's the thing. We've found out that we're being attacked by this organization called Jane's Revenge. And when I say we're being attacked, I mean conservative, pro-life Christian types. And it's because this Jane's Revenge organization, if it is an organization, is basically a front group for Antifa. And Maoist Antifa is this organization that is what the former Pentagon irregular warfare expert Rich Higgins called, they're using fourth generation warfare. It's what Al-Qaeda used to bring down Somalia. It's happening all over the world. It's happening specifically in the United States. Their ultimate goal is to destroy and dismantle the socioeconomic system that undergirds the nation state system in the West. And America is the bulwark. And to bring down America, you've got to attack the capitalistic and Christian roots of our society in order to pave the way for a global communism. This is not my words. This is their words. This is the ultimate goal of Maoist Antifa. They would prefer a Maoist form of Chinese government in America to what we have right now, which is the rule of law, constitutional rule of law. And it's not surprising, but this is what the Biden administration is after. And this is what he's using federal law enforcement to pursue. So it is scary.
Yeah, well,
you're right.
Yeah. So, well, he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't know what's going on to a great degree, and he does what he's told. And people like, and specifically, in my opinion, Barack Obama and his minions that are in place are calling the shots and doing what he could never have done as president. But I'm going to play devil's advocate with you here, and I'm going to be a little sarcastic here. But Reverend, we've been told by the head of the FBI that Antifa is an idea. And listen to the name. This is from the media, too. Listen to the name, anti-fascist. So they're good people, and they don't even really exist. It's just an idea. I mean, and this is what they say, and this is what they repeat on the cable. Believe me, I watch them all on The View, on CNN, on cable news. And you want to just, you know, bang your head against the wall.
You do. What they mean by fascism, how they define fascism, is the Marxist-Leninist definition, which is simply capitalism. They are anti-capitalists. And so the free market and the Christian kind of Judeo-Christian values that drive it are the enemy. And so that's why they attack churches like Catholic churches. And that's why they attack pregnancy centers. They look at us and they call us Christian fascists. And they claim that we're enslaving women socioeconomically by forcing her to have her baby. We're it's obviously it's a terrible thing for a woman to be able to have a baby. It's a terrible thing for an organization to provide free ethical medical care to a woman facing an unplanned pregnancy and in need. You know, this is, you know, what they're doing right now is they're doing these terrible criminal things that are undermining our country, and one might argue treasonous and seditious, by the way. And you know what's going to happen if we lose the election? I think it goes much, much deeper than just the election. We've got to find a way to root out the systemic corruption that has infiltrated the upper echelons of government as well as federal law enforcement, and begin to ask ourselves, what is federal law enforcement supposed to be doing? Because right. The Department of Homeland Security is now profiling, pro-life moms as potential domestic terror threats. Something has gone badly wrong, and it needs to be fixed. And it's not going to be fixed simply by an election. I mean, it's a good first step.
No. We got to have politicians who, when they win, they do something about it. And I know you don't mean violence. So I assume that's what you mean.
No.
Yeah. Am I correct? Okay. Good. Go ahead.
No, I don't. So they use violence. The abortion industry is violence. We're the ones that value all people. All people need to be protected and blessed.
Right.
That is the true pro-life position. And they are attacking humanity at its very root. And the slippery slope is, if you keep If you allow federal law enforcement to keep going the way they're going, according to be, you know, this politicization that's happening with the Biden administration, then they're going to be committing more violence, not just violence against the Constitution, but actual violence against other people who happen to disagree with them.
Well, Reverend, my argument here has always been on issue after issue, especially with abortion. It's a winning issue for Republicans, but they're afraid to touch it. They're afraid if there was a Republican out there of stature who could say what you're saying now and would say it often, and if Republicans would come together, they would open the eyes of Americans who don't know much of this. And Republicans stink at it. They stink at it on abortion. They always have. Listen, I've been doing this for 40 years, and Republicans just don't get the mess. They don't fight verbally like the Democrats do.
No, they don't. And I told them back in August, before the midterms, we started to see all these Republicans that were ostensibly pro-life backing away from the issue. And I said, if you don't step in and become pro-life statesmen, you will lose. And you will lose big. This red wave that everybody's predicting is going to die on the beach. And it did. The only Republicans that won are the ones that, you know, wanted to stand up, actually stood strong against their competition on the pro-life issue, like DeSantis.
Let me give you two quick examples. It's really one example, but it's two parts. How many people in America understand that, with the exception of maybe one, maybe two Democrats, every Democrat in the House, the new House under McCarthy, voted against what the media and the left calls anti-abortion bills? One of them protected babies who were born alive of botched abortions. They had to receive the medical care to keep them alive that any other baby who was born would receive. All the Democrats, again, maybe one, voted no. The other one was to condemn violence against centers such as yours. They voted no. And the media called them anti-abortion measures that were, you know, passed by the Republicans, but the Democrats voted. Now, if some Republican would open their mouth and educate the American public that this is what happened, they would say, get out of here. But it's true.
It is true. Oh, without a doubt. These bills were not about abortion. But of course, the Democrats made it all about abortion and voted in lockstep as if they were, you know, they weren't representing their constituents in any way whatsoever. They were being controlled by some other, narrative. So you're right, 100%. What needs to happen is Republicans need to learn how to become pro-life statesmen. And because the Democrats' true position is something they don't want to talk about. They've never met an abortion they don't love. Never. And
when, So if
Republicans are willing to talk about it basically expose the Democrats' true position on abortion, that will open the eyes of the population, because most people, 80% of people, want abortion restricted in their states, and they want to have a say in it.
Absolutely. And every time Kamala Harris and one of those idiots open their mouth and say it's a woman's body and there's no role for government to tell them, they don't want to codify Roe. They want to have abortion on demand up to 9 months and beyond with no restrictions, paid for by the federal government. And again, that's Republicans won't say that.
No, they won't. Not only that, but when they quote unquote codify Roe, what they're actually doing is they're making abortion a fundamental human right. And when you make abortion a fundamental human right, you by default outlaw public pro-life activity as a violation of a woman's civil right, becomes actionable and punishable by law. So, and that's what they've been after for the last 10 months, 12 months. That's what they've been after us in New York State for years. We've been fighting this. So, you know, people need to wake up and see what you just described as true. I mean, there's a lot at stake here, and it's not, and it goes beyond abortion.
Yes,
because it speaks to what it means to be a human, what it means to be an American.
And when it comes to the parents, and I'm going to wrap up here, when it comes to the parents being, you know, tabbed by the FBI and reported on and watched and all that for attending school board meetings where they object to, transitioning our kids and indoctrinating them and grooming them. It's all part of the same, what you discussed earlier. It's all part of the same plan to just shake this whole family structure and every other structure we have in this country and tear this country apart. I'll let you get the final word.
Well, you're right. The you know, for a Maoist Antifa type communist government to reign, it needs to destroy the primary relational connections that create a civilized order, and that is a relationship between a person and their God, a person and their spouse, and a person and their children. Those three relationships come before government. But in order to destroy that, you've got to destroy those relationships to build a communism to make government God, and right. and force people to be isolated as individuals and look to the government for everything. So we've got a fight on our hands.
Yeah, and of course, Biden is repeating now over and over when he's not saying his son died in Iraq, which is a lie. He's repeating that they're not, you know, it's not somebody's children. It's all of our, everybody, every child is all of our children. I mean, this is really scary stuff. But listen, thank goodness that there are people like you corporations like the Compass Care Pregnancy Centers around the country, and keep up the good struggle. And you're welcome here anytime, sir. And I'm sure we'll speak again.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate you. God bless.
Take care. Reverend Jim Hardin, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Centers. It's a scary picture that he paints. And how could you disagree with any of it? How could you disagree with any of it? I mean, their facility in Buffalo is firebombed and nothing happened. And it's just insane, just insane. And we could spend the whole show. We do spend whole shows going over every aspect of what he brought up and what I brought up. And God help us, really. God help this country. All right, we are going to talk about Mr. Ron DeSantis. Right here when we come back, Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Katie Hopkins is talking about.
Take a listen to Meghan Markle in full word salad mode last night, accepting or presenting some nonsense award for some vacuous cause that no one could give a single shiny sausage about.
Suppose the point is, it's just never too late to start. You can be the visionary of your own life. You can charter a path in which what you repeat in your daily acts of service, in kindness, in advocacy, in grace, and in fairness, that those become the very things that are recognized by the next wave of women, both young and old, who will also choose this moment to join the movement and make our vision for an equitable world reality.
Blah, 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 blah. Vision to equity, to a world of service. And in your day, you can become the something-something that navigates the word salad into nonsenseness, as long as I get pictures of me smiling like someone who's on acid whilst wearing a dress that maybe looks better than Princess Kate. Oh, for God's sake. For that trout to talk about service, I mean, please, is there no limits to the hypocrisy of this festering little piece of trailer trash?
Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Although the government was established to protect the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of the American people, the deep state has been working hard to strip us of any claims to life and liberty. No matter who runs for office, no matter who controls the White House, now or in the future, we the people have already lost. Because the future of this nation is being forged beyond the reach of our laws, elections, and borders by techno-authoritarian powers with no regard for individuality, privacy, or freedom. The Rutherford Institute is deeply committed to protecting the constitutional freedoms of every American and the integral human rights of all people through its extensive legal and educational programs. We provide legal services at no charge to those whose constitutional and human rights have been threatened or violated. It's our job to make the government play by the rules of the Constitution. With your help, we will make America free again. Visit Rutherford.org and kindly donate today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. So I want you to hear how some of the announcement on Twitter, actually Twitter Spaces, by Ron DeSantis. That's where he announced that he's running for president. They had a lot of technical difficulties. Now, I thought he was talking with Elon Musk, but he apparently he was talking to Republican donor David Sachs, who interviewed him. So I'm a little confused, but nonetheless, here it is. It cut out. I didn't play it long enough for it to cut out, but it kept cutting out, in and out, in and out. So here's just a little bit of what it sounded like. DeSantis on Twitter Spaces at about 6 p.m. Eastern time earlier tonight. Here's cut 268.
So many people here that I think we are kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign. All right, I'd like to just introduce the folks in the room here. So it's safe to say we wouldn't be making history without the man sitting next to me, Elon Musk. His decision to purchase this platform last year to restore it to its original mission as a beacon for free speech, and even to expose Twitter's past complicity with a government censorship regime, might have surprised many, but not those of us who've known and worked with Elon for nearly a quarter century.
His commitment to freedom
and his willingness to put his money where his mouth is,
upset the narrative control imposed on us by our government,
elite institutions, and corporate media. Go ahead and send a heart up if you want to say thank you, Elon.
Okay, so that apparently, and you heard the interference, it cut out. That apparently was David Sachs, and I didn't even realize that until just a few minutes ago, to be honest with you. So that was Sachs asking DeSantis if he wanted to thank Elon Musk. And again, I didn't even realize that Sachs was involved in this, to be honest with you. Okay, so that's that. But earlier on Twitter, Ron DeSantis tweeted out an ad which made the following announcement. Here is the ad. It's a minute long. You can't see it, but you could hear it. It's 267.
Our border is a disaster. Crime infests our cities. The federal government makes it harder for families to make ends meet, and the president flounders. But decline is a choice. Success is attainable, and freedom is worth fighting for. Righting the ship requires restoring sanity to our society, normalcy to our communities, and integrity to our institutions. Truth must be our foundation, and common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. In Florida, we prove that it can be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. We showed that we can and must revitalize America. We need the courage to lead and the strength to win. I'm Ron DeSantis, and I'm running for president to lead our great American comeback.
There you go. So it is official. And then I made a comment earlier that Trey Gowdy, of all shows, I mean, I look, Trey Gowdy also had Tim Scott. Trey Gowdy's doing the 8 o'clock slot, the old Tucker slot this week. And I'm sorry, you know, who am I to be critical of all these people? But I got to tell you, Trey Gowdy, there's just no personality. I mean, he makes little wisecracks, which are funny, but he's got no personality. He doesn't smile. He's stiff. I'm sorry. He's just not a talk show host. He's a guest. He's not a talk show host. And, you know, they put him in this 8 o'clock. They're rotating a guest host at 8 o'clock. It's not by accident that he got at 8 o'clock on Monday, I believe it was, Tim Scott, after Scott announced earlier in the day. And then he was the first interview done with Ron DeSantis tonight, about 2 hours after he announced. They didn't get that. Hannity didn't get him. Laura Ingraham didn't get him. Brett Baer didn't get them. So, and Jesse Waters was off today, but I think he was there Monday. He didn't get him, Scott. So I don't know why, if it says anything, if it means anything, that with the impending moving reportedly of Sean Hannity going from 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and other moving, Greg Gutfeld being moved to prime time, and Laura ending up who knows where, and and Jesse Waters going to prime time. It might open up 7 o'clock, and they get to give it. If they give it to Trey Gowdy, just a big mistake. I don't know what to say anymore with these networks. And by the way, CNN's got another town hall coming up with Nikki Haley. That's right. Nikki Haley, also a Republican presidential candidate. She will be next. It's June 4th, which is next week at some point, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. She will be on CNN for another town hall. So there you go. I wonder if it's going to be Caitlin Collins, another snoozer, who they're going to give, apparently. They already have given, or you know, signed a deal, reportedly, giving her the 9 o'clock slot on CNN. Another non-personality, boring, good questioner, good interviewer, but I mean, really, please get some personalities on the anyway. Okay, so let's move on here, and let's move to the media. I say reaction to the fact that DeSantis was going to make it official, preempting his announcement, trashing him, trashing the fact it was going to be on Twitter, trashing Elon Musk, you name it, they trashed it all day long. Here's Wednesday, MSNBC. They're talking about DeSantis and about his launch on Twitter. This is Charlie Skykes. He's been described as a never Trumper, and he's on MSNBC all the time. And here's cut 256.
Well, let's just talk about launching a candidacy with Elon Musk. This is not a parody. When you think about, you know, the fact that the governor of Florida decides to launch a bid for president of the United States by bowing the knee to a tech oligarch, somebody who has been very publicly decompensating an erratic, narcissistic megalomaniac like Elon Musk. What an extraordinary choice. I mean, for Ron DeSantis to basically go all in on Elon Musk at the time that Elon Musk is, you know, has been displaying all of his brain worms, you know, saying that working from home is immoral, yeah, doubting whether a mass killer was really a neo-Nazi, opening the doors to Twitter to every sort of grifter and bigot and conspiracy theorist.
So when they're not going after DeSantis, they're tearing apart Musk, which they've torn apart ever since he bought Twitter, for daring to allow conservatives on Twitter and not keeping them banned the way, you know, the Twitter did before. And so they're calling him every name in the book, and how, you know, guilt by association. DeSantis is tying his announcement to Elon Musk. Okay, here's one more from Charlie Sykes, and this is talking about, he brings up Tim Scott in this one. Here's 257.
Ron DeSantis clearly thought that he needed a big shift, a big pivot, something dramatic. There are so many questions about all of this. I mean, we've seen Ron DeSantis' lack of interpersonal skills on display. I think now you're seeing perhaps his lack of political judgment doing this. The other point to be made here is the risk-reward. I mean, he obviously thinks there's going to be reward by siding up to the, basically, the online right. But when you align yourself with Elon Musk, there is tremendous risks. You know, I've used the word erratic several times. Just a couple of days ago, he was tweeting out praise for Tim Scott. But I do think that you're seeing his lack of political skills and his lack of political judgment, and maybe a little bit of whiff of desperation here. You know, how do I reset this campaign and change the narrative?
No, God. Talk about overanalyzing. You think people give up a darn that that he went on Twitter and Twitter is run by Elon Musk? Oh yeah, the radical leftist nut jobs, they care, and they care because they could use it in, speaking of narrative, in their narrative. But who cares? Who cares? Who cares? You think the public cares? And there was such a lack of interest that they flooded the zone, if you will, causing the technical difficulties. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it shows how much interest there was. Now, continuing on MSNBC, This is on Andrea Mitchell's show. Andrea Mitchell reports also today, earlier, before the announcement, before the Twitter deal. And this is a woman named Erin Haynes. She's the editor of something called The 19th. African-American. Never heard of The 19th. Let's go get DeSantis. Here's cut number 258.
And you have seen Governor DeSantis really as governor and now as emerging and as of tonight official presidential candidate is really the face of the erosion of those freedoms, whether we're talking about voting rights, critical race theory, the book bans, LGBTQ plus rights and access to reproductive health care. These are issues that we saw in the 2022 midterms as galvanizing for Democratic voters. So, you know, going into a general, I think that these the culture wars you're going to see galvanizing both sides, and that's really what you know a lot of this election is apparently going to come down to with a candidate that we've seen use this not only as rhetoric but just translate a lot of this into policy in Florida and maybe as a blueprint for what he would do as president if elected.
Yeah, well, he's certainly going to run on what he's done in Florida, and here's a secret. I believe most of the country favors it. Most of the country favors it. If you tell them the truth, if you tell them what it is, if you tell them that he signed a bill where you're not allowed to say gay, ergo the Don't Say Gay bill, well, that's a lie. And of course, people wouldn't like that. But if you tell them what it does, they think they'll have quite a favorable opinion. Same thing with why he is banned. CRT, why he banned an African Americans, I think, advanced placement course. What was in that course that caused him to ban it? Tell the truth. Don't talk in phrases. Don't talk in slogans. Don't mislead the public. I'm not saying she's doing all that, although in my view, if she was a little bit, but you know, educate the public, and DeSantis will educate the public on himself. Now, could you imagine if DeSantis was to debate Joe Biden? That would never happen. One, because I don't think DeSantis could beat Trump. But two, if DeSantis was the nominee, I don't know what they would do. But there's no way on the face of the earth that Joe Biden would get on a stage with Ron DeSantis. No way. No way. Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's go back to Tuesday for this cut. This is the White House presser with Karine Jean-Pierre, who stinks at her job, but it doesn't matter because she's gay and she's a lesbian and she's black. So that's all that matters. And the person asking the question is April Ryan. We've talked about April Ryan before, and they're talking about DeSantis. Give a listen. It's cut 259.
NAACP has made a move, a travel advisory from the state of Florida after several issues against the other, if you will, from Governor Ron DeSantis. And they're saying that the hate that is coming out of this political season is dangerous. What do you say to what the NAACP has done? I mean, they're following behind other groups, be it groups on race or LGBTQ+, but they're making a bold statement. What do you say to this?
So I'm not going to comment on travel advisories specifically, but I'll say this more broadly and where we have been as administration, as a White House, we've been outspoken about the impact of misguided policies advanced by Florida lawmakers. Republicans in Florida have attacked diversity. They've attacked inclusion efforts. They've limited the teaching of Black history. And they've launched attacks on the LGBT youth, immigrants, educators, and women's reproductive freedom. That's what you have seen from lawmakers in Florida.
Okay. See, there's the misleading. There's the garbage. There's the baloney. And I believe she was reading part of that as well, if I'm not mistaken. All right. One more before we take a break. Jen Psaki, who used to do what Karine Jean-Pierre now does before she left to go to MSNBC. And they were, I think she was on, where was she on? She was on MSNBC. This was today also. And this is about DeSantis deciding to make the announcement on Twitter. Here's cut 260.
When I heard this, and I know Elise made a similar point earlier this morning, but I was thinking, so advisors were sitting around in a room and thinking, how will we announce that Ron DeSantis is going to run for president, something that's been highly anticipated? And the decision they made was to have him on an audio-only platform. Only 20% of the country has access to or really plays in, mostly coastal, with a guy who, by the way, is not expanding his own base of support and is also not doing anything to help with the awkwardness because he's awkward too. So I'm not sure the conversation went exactly that way, but I don't fully understand the Twitter piece other than to say Twitter is sort of how Ron DeSantis, because people weren't seeing him in person, because he wasn't interacting with humans, how he kind of got himself on the national map. So maybe that was their thinking.
Okay. You know, this nonsense that, let's say she's right. 20% of the American public has access to Twitter. Let's say she's right. But every news organization is going to take what was on Twitter and play it on their newscast, just like they would have done if he announced, you know, at a stadium, at a rally. So there's really no difference. There's really no difference. But what you just heard from Psaki is nothing compared to what you're going to hear when we come back. One final segment left in the hour. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Come on, FBI. You're going to have to do a lot better than that if you want us to buy one of your Nazi false flags. I know we call you the Phoebes, and yes, that does stand for feeble, but that doesn't mean that every single thing you do has to be feeble. Seriously, a little effort go a long way. I'm referring, of course, to the latest absurd story about 19-year-old Sai Varshith Kandula, an Indian from Missouri who allegedly rented a U-Haul box truck and drove it empty at a low rate of speed into a barricade at the White House, and conveniently had a Nazi flag on the seat next to him, all ready for FBI to spread out on the ground in front of the accident scene for one of their patented photo ops, just like they took empty file folders marked classified and top secret and spread them on the floor at Mar-a-Lago to create the impression that Donald Trump was carelessly strewing about classified documents, which was a completely false narrative. This one is too. Just ask any 19-year-old college student who has tried to rent a U-Haul truck to move to or from college. Can't be done. So who rented the vehicle, when, and what's the story here? Because one thing is guaranteed, it's not what the Phoebes are telling us. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. So you want to, and I know it gets sickening after a while, but I enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy it. The utter lack of understanding by the idiots on The View, just a lack of understanding the issue, which goes along with a lack of, you know, brain power and intellect and intelligence, and what could I say? So let's listen to The View. This is, again, about the Twitter launch that was going to happen later today. This is on The View this morning. This is Alyssa Farah Griffin, who used to work for Trump. She's what passes as the Republican on the panel. Let's listen to what she had to say first and foremost, and it is cut 261.
It will
either be brilliant or a disaster, no in between. So I've advised a lot of candidates, and your launch day is the best day of your campaign. That's the day that everybody's paying attention to you, and then it tends to be downhill. That's where attacks start coming. There are a lot of risks with this. If I'm Donald Trump's camp, I would be thinking about putting Donald Trump back on Twitter while this happens, or putting out counter messaging. But I'd also remind
folks... Don't give him any idea.
Please don't take that idea.
But we're not clear. He's going to be campaigning on Twitter,
so
right?
He's launching his campaign.
The announcement. And then
Twitter
he's going to keep campaigning on Twitter?
No, then he's going to do the formal retail kind of politics.
So we got to hear this stuff a couple more times that he's...
But we forget...
Okay. That was the dumbest woman on television, Joy Behar, say, so he's going... So he's going to keep campaigning on Twitter? What? What does that mean? You mean instead of going places, he's going to just tweet? He's going to keep campaigning on Twitter? And they said, no, he's making the announcement. What kind of question is that? What kind of idiot do you have to be? That's what she gets from all this? That he's going to make the announcement that he's running for president later today on Twitter? Excuse me. And so she says, oh, so you mean he's going to keep campaigning on Twitter? What? I don't even understand how you could come to that conclusion or ask that question. Complete lack of understanding. Now, you want another brain surgeon? Here's Sunny. It's not her real name. Hostin. Get a load of this. Here's cut 262.
That's why I wonder who's sort of advising him at this point, because as you said, you know, 20% of Americans are only 20% of Americans are on Twitter. And out of those 20%, 80% are the loudest and the ones that make the most noise. And so you're hearing from such a small group of people. And when you compare a Twitter announcement with Elon Musk, who I don't know what his approval rating is, but it's like in the toilet. 40.
You know what it is.
I'm sorry. I was just told he's more favorable than Biden and Trump, which scares me. But so it's 47%. But when you compare that, right?
So she's there saying that Elon Musk's approval rating. Again, what does that have to do with this? But I don't know what it is, but it's in the toilet. And then someone says in her ear from the studio, from the production or whatever, no, he has a higher approval rating than Trump and Biden. Oh, I'm being told. So why would you say it was in the toilet? Where did you get that from? Did you make it up? I mean, these people, I mean, and you know what? I'm surprised that someone told her in real time, because you should have seen her face like, oh, after she said in the toilet and they all applauded. Usually they would have waited until after the commercial break or near the end of the show and come back and say, oh, I misspoke earlier. Elon Musk's approval rating is really high. Bye. But they got her at the moment. Wow. Wow. Dumb and dumber. You mean he's got a campaign on Twitter? Oh, God. Oh, God. This is really like passing a park bench and hearing these women who have no place else to go all day long just pontificate and yak and spew and whatever else you want to call it. Okay, so here we go with Joy Behar again, after she was told... What the hell are you talking about? Of course, he's not going to campaign on Twitter. Again, here's cut 263.
When you compare that to Joe Biden's video when he announced, which was, I'm here to save the soul of a nation, I think so many people felt that and related to it. And we were in such a difficult place. I just can't imagine that he thinks matching that would be with Elon Musk, who I'm not sure I even understand what he's saying.
What I don't get is exactly how he's going to campaign on Twitter, though. Is he going to be...
He's not campaigning on Twitter. He's just an announcer.
I know, but why is Elon Musk involved with this at all? He already said something good about Tim Scott. So now he's backing...
He's not endorsing. He said he's not officially endorsing, although anyone could view this as...
I mean, Twitter, to me, is a hellscape.
It is a hellscape.
It's a hellscape, and no one is accountable over there. If you go on television, they have to check you, even though Caitlin, whatever her name is...
Collins.
Collins. She got into in a little bit of trouble at CNN along with CNN, but she did question him. She did try to fact check him. On Twitter, there's no fact checking. You say whatever you want.
Well, all he's doing is announcing. It's kind of like, I'm running for president.
Did you hear her again? After she brought it up the first time, and instead of being embarrassed and understanding that you were scolded and told no, he's not campaigning on Twitter, she says, I don't understand. He's got a campaign on Twitter. Why is he campaigning on Twitter? And they said, he's not campaigning. He's announcing. Really? I mean, really? If this was your kid, you'd be worried, right? This is what she does for a living. She doesn't get it. She just doesn't get it. And you think you've heard? By the way, if you do it on television, what do you mean if you do it on television? What does that mean? When people announce they're running for president, they don't do it usually during a sit-down interview with one person. They do it like Tim Scott did it, at a rally, at an event. Or in this case, on Twitter. She's making it sound like, you know, like Donald Trump announced he was running for president and Caitlin Collins, the town hall, had nothing to do with that. Completely different. But I don't want time to run out. You got to hear Whoopi Goldberg here. 264.
I'm old and I'm okay being old. Do that on television, okay?
Well,
I want to see you do it on television. I want to see you actually take real Americans' questions. That's what I want. I don't want to dislike you. I can't help it because you give
this whole audience.
You don't give me any reason because I don't understand. Why do you dislike people of color? What's wrong with American history?
Yeah.
What's wrong with gay folks? You know, Anita Bryant did this stuff in 1975, and gay folks rose up and fought for what they needed. That's what's coming, man. That's what's coming. Oh, no. It's coming. You know, and that's not a threat.
Well, the women are coming, too.
They pay the same taxes I pay. They want the same things that we're entitled to as taxpayers. You can't pick and choose, and you're not asking your constituents. You're telling them what you're doing. And that is not the American way. Everybody's supposed to be deciding what they want for their state, sir, not just you.
Okay. Where do you begin? I could do an hour on that 1 minute and 12 second rant by Whoopi Goldberg. First of all, I want you to do it on TV. I want you to take the people's questions. Idiot. Moron. This is not a town hall. He's announced that he's running for president. You don't take people's questions from the audience when you announce. What is it? My God. Since I've been here in August, I've been telling you and showing you and letting you hear how dumb these people are. But this is it. This takes the cake. What is it that they don't understand? Really think about it. He was announcing he was going to. This was the morning. He announced in the evening. What didn't they? He was announcing that officially he's running for president. People do that. They do it at events usually. DeSantis was doing it on Twitter. When Tim Scott did it the other day, he didn't take questions from the audience. No one takes questions from the audience when they announce they're running. She's do it on TV. I want to see you on TV. I want you to answer the people's questions. What? I mean, what? Oh, is he going to enjoy? Is he going to campaign on Twitter? What? I mean, this just shows a total lack of cognitive ability. And then the other stuff, you know, she makes it sound like DeSantis passed these bills himself. He did sign them. He didn't pass them. The legislature passed them, and they were elected by Floridians. We went through this yesterday, and that's how it works in a democracy. It's not DeSantis signing an executive order. These are laws that were passed by the elected state legislature. and signed by the governor, who was elected twice. So these people, I've never heard such idiocy, lunacy, dumbness in my life. They show no grasp of the subject matter at all.
I want to see it on TV. I want them taking questions tonight.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Folks, God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. And don't forget, who's next? Damian Richardson. I'm Steve Malzberg, right here on TNT Radio.